Of Mem Gimel and Aleph, the two dots down from the top, it's about five lines down from the top. Hey Sebu, and this is what we learned in our Mishnah, Echad Mevarech Lekulam. So if they recline together, then one makes the bracha for all of them. Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Pas. This only applies in the case of Pas, and there we require Heseba in order to join them together as one group. Is boy haseba, aval yayin lo boy haseba. In other words, if they're drinking wine together, even without haseba, one makes the bracha for all of them. That's the opinion of Rav here in the Lishna Kama. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, afilu yayin nami boy haseba, the halach of haseba, that requirement for echad motzius kulam applies both with regard to pas and with regard to yayin. Now it comes out that both according to Rav and according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you have a davar chashuv, then one person should make the bracha for all. And the reason for that is because of Barov HaMhajas Melech. However, in theory we always require Haseba to link them together into Barov Am. If it's a davar shein a chashuv, then if it's Echad Mevarech Lekulam, even without Haseba. And you don't need Haseba. Then it's not Barov Am in the strict sense of creating one group. But when you have a Dover Chashuv, you need to link them together to form one group. And now the question is whether Yayin fits into that category, a description of Yayin, of Dover Chashuv. According to Rav, Yayin is not a Dover Chashuv, and even without Haseba, one person can make the bracha for everyone. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yayin is also Chashuv, and therefore you need to link them all together into one group. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Yayin needs Haseba. That's according to the Lishna Kama. Ika Deyamin, the second Lishna, Omar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Pas, De Mahanyule Haseba, Aval Yayin Lo Mahanyule Haseba. It's just the opposite. That in the case of Yayin, Rav is now saying, according to this version of Rav, that Haseba is not going to help you. In the first Lishna of Rav, Rav says, Yayin doesn't need Haseba. Now Rav is going to the other extreme, according to the Lishna of Basra, and he's saying that Yayin doesn't have Haseba, meaning Haseba is meaningless in the case of Yayin, lo mahanyule Haseba, and therefore, with Haseba, without Haseba, would make any difference. Everyone should make the bracha for himself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Yayin Nami Mahanyule Haseba. Yayin also lends itself to Haseba, and therefore there would be a kiyum of one bracha for all of them. Now, when Rav says Lo Mahanyule Haseba, Tzarech Iyun, we have to understand what would be if one person made a bracha on Yayin, the other one is also interested in drinking Yayin, can the other one be Otsi with his bracha? Again, it wouldn't work midin chabura achas, or one entity, but it might work mitzad shomei ka'one. And that could make sense, that each one is making the bracha for himself, even though l'maisa, there's one maisa bracha, but each one is considered to have done a maisa bracha when he recites Amen. Rav is saying, according to the Lishna Kama, that you can perhaps generate a shtia biyachad with echad mevarech lekulam, even in the absence of Haseba. In the second Lishna, Rav is saying that just like Pas, in order to get that special kiyum, which means there's one maisa bracha of all of them, but like it's like a tzibur kind of halacha, which we find in Tefillah as well. Tefillas Hatzibur, here there's a bracha of Hatzibur, and the Tzibur here is made up of any number of people who did Haseba together. And here, in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, in the Lishna Kama, the halacha of Yayin is identical with the halacha of Pas. You need Haseba, and with Haseba you have this one Maisa bracha of the entire group. Echad Mevarech Lekulam. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in the Lishna Basra, nothing much changes, because in the Lishna Kama, Yayin requires Haseba, and Rabbi Yochanan says that in the Lishna Basra, Yayin Mahanyu Le'aseh. But there is one possibility to say that Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit different in the Lishna Basra than he is in the Lishna Kama. In the Lishna Kama, he says, Boy Haseva. He requires Haseva. It could be that because there's a kiyum of one bracha and Barov Am through Haseva, he's going to require Haseva. He's not going to be very excited about each one making their own bracha. In the Lishna Basra, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't see this as a chiyuv necessarily, but Haseva does operate, is meaningful in Yayin just as it is in Pas, but in Pas it would be a requirement, in Yayin it's only a kiyum. Now, here I have a note, actually two notes I wanted to share with you. The first note says that both according to Rav and according to Rabbi Yochanan in a Dover Chashuv, we have halacha of Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. Fine. And it could be that in a Dover Chashuv you have a Chiyuv, as we said, of Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. That's what we wanted to suggest based on the Pasuk Barov Am Hajus Melech. There's a second comment over here that according to the Lishna Basra in the Machlokas, both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan agree that a Dover Chashuv needs Haseva. Well, is that really so? I mean, take a look at the Lashon of Rav in the Lishna Basra. He just says, Mahanyu Le'aseva, in the case of Pas, but in the case of Yayin in the Lishna Basra, Lo Mahanyu Le'aseva. So which would mean, according to this formulation, which by the way is the Tosa Rosh, that in Yayin there is no Chashivus, and therefore there's no din of Haseba. So that's Rav Shita, that Yayin is not called Chashuv, and therefore lo mo'ila lo Haseba. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, understands that Yayin is Chashuv, and Haseba would be meaningful. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps everything could lend itself to Haseba when he says that afilu yayin nami mahanyu le'aseva. What about a davar sheino chashuv? So Rabbi Yochanan, here in this case, is saying that yayin is chashuv. So the difference between yayin as chashuv and everything else which is eino chashuv, according to the best of my knowledge, is that in the case of yayin, we require Haseba. If everything is ideal, that's what we're going to do, so that we set up this new entity called Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. As we said, there's one Maisa Bracha of all of them, Barov Am. And Dvarim Sheinim Chashuvim, then it could be that Rabbi Yochanan would say that one person can make the bracha for others, but that's only a din of Amen, and every single individual is making the bracha for himself. Now that's according to Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Kama, because Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Kama says that Yayin Boy Haseba. In the Lishna Basra, Mahanyale Haseba, then Lechora, I'm not sure what is the difference here between Yayin and all other things. So it could be that in this level, Rabbi Yochanan in the Lishna Basra is saying that Yayin has a kiyum of Haseba and one bracha for everything. That's called Mahanyale Haseba. In the other Dvarim Chashuvim, it could be that it's, as we said before, Shomei Kona, each one is making his own bracha. But if we go back again to the Lishna Kama, the first Lishna here, the Machlokas is, does Yayin need Haseba? And Rav says that Yayin does not need Haseba. Rabbi Yochanan says it needs Haseba. Whereas according to the second Lishna, the machlokas is whether for Yayin it's meaningful to have Haseba, meaning the way we explained it, there's a kiyum Haseba, and that's Rabbi Yochanan, or is Haseba just lo maila v'lo morid, and that would be, in the case of Yayin, that would be Rav Shita. Meisve, the Gemara asks Akasha, Ketzad say there Haseba. Now, if you look into the Ritva here in the Sugya, he gives you a different impression, that when it says Lo Mahanyu Le'aseva, what it means is that each person has to make the bracha himself. He's not operating with Shomei Ka'ona as a fallback position, which is always open in all cases, with Haseva, without Haseva, Davar Chashuv, without Davar Chashuv. So take a look in the Ritva. Now we started this brisa here of Ketzad Seder Haseva, and we're talking about the, you know, what was the general procedure, if you want to call it that, for a meal. And we're talking again about the requirement of Haseva and the significance of Haseva. Orchim Nichnasim, the guests come into the house of the Balabayas. So we're talking about a Seuda, and the minhag was that the rich people would invite the poor people to join them for a meal. And the Mesubim in this brisa are called Orchim. That's how Rashi seems to interpret this brisa. So Orchim are the Mesubim. Those are synonymous terms. And at this point in time, the brisa is addressing the moment in which the guests come into the house. They haven't yet joined in the, you know, sat down, so to speak, or to take their place. And they certainly haven't done a seva yet, but rather, Yoshvin al gabi safsolim, right now, they're sitting on, let's call it benches or chairs. He has here another possibility, which is kasedros, which are some sort of suge kusos, some kind of types of chairs, as he defines it. A safsol is, generally speaking, very wide, and it's lifted up from the karka, whereas a katedra is much smaller, and it's not as wide. Anyway, the Archim came in, and the Bryce says the following, Adshi kansu kulam. We have to wait for a moment until everyone gathers together. As long as they haven't all come in, then they don't take their places in where it was set and waiting for them. They sit in some sort of place in the house. That's not where they're going to eat. And all this is because of ethics. It's ethically right that wait till everybody comes, and then everybody will be seated. And now, Anchi Kotsu Kulam, everyone is now gathered together. Hevilahem Mayim. So the first stage in the Suda is to wash their hands immediately. And right after that, Kol Echav Echad Notel Yodo Achas. After they bring the wine out, each person washes one hand in order to receive in that hand a cup of shasiyah, of some sort of liquid to drink before the suda. So we're not yet ready for the suda. And then the next stage is called Echad V'Echad Notel Yodo Achas. Okay, that we got to. Then Bolehem Yayin. Now they brought out the wine. It's called Echad V'Echad Mevarech Li Atzmo, because they haven't yet taken their places yet, so there's no Heseba Yachad. Each one makes his brach for himself. This would support the Ritva that we're not operating with Shomer Ka'on. Could be in Birchas HaNedim, there's no Shomer Ka'on. We have to see. Now, Olu Ve'Sebu, now they're ready to climb into these reclining beds to do Heseba and begin to eat their Suda. Bolehem Mayim, now they have water, and the water is for Netilas Yadayim. Now they're going to wash both hands. Initially, just for Shasiyah, it was sufficient to wash one hand. And the Rishonim say that we're talking about what's called Ochlei Taharos. And for example, let's say the case of a Kohen who's drinking wine of Truma, he has to wash his hands before he can receive the cup of wine. And for that, one hand is sufficient. That's the hand that's going to receive the cup of wine. And this washing seems to be a chova, because in case they're going to give them something that's what's called tibula b'mashke, they have to make sure that the yadayim are tahoro. So anyway, Tosus learns that this netila is only mishum kovod, for the sake of the bracha, to make sure that he's reciting a bracha with the Yad Nekiyah. I'm just not sure why one hand is enough. I guess because one hand he's holding the wine, and that's already a kiyum of kavod habracha. But now they're ready to start the meal, and they have to wash both hands. Afal pisha kol echav echad notel yodov. Achas chozer venotel shtei yodov. In other words, now he's going to eat with two hands, and therefore he has to wash both hands. And the first netilah is not enough, because that netilah was only biyado achas, and there's machlokas rishonim whether he has to wash both hands now for this netilah, or he has one hand that's still clean. The Rashba says, no, he has to wash both hands, because there was a hefsek in between the original netilah and now the bracha. And what happens next? Balahem yayin. They bring wine in front of the Orchim. Afal pishkol echav yechad berech li'atzmo is echad mevarech l'kulam. It means even though each one made a bracha on the ayin for himself before they came in to the room where they're doing the hesev, as we said, because they washed their hand, one hand originally, and each one made the bracha himself. Now Bolem Yayin and Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. I mean, you could ask a couple of questions here. One question is, why do they have to make another bracha? It hasn't been such a long period of time since they made the first bracha, but maybe there's a Shinu Makom. They went from the outer chambers into the dining room itself. That's possible. But in any event, Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. Now, when they sat to drink, each one made his own bracha. That was in the first round. But once they did Aseba, one person is making the bracha for all of them. And if that be the case, we have a kasha on Rav. Why? Lahach lishna diyom Rav. If you take the first lishna, that Rav says, lo shana lo pasta boya seba, aval yayin lo boya seba, is kasha resha. We don't understand the resha of the braisa. When all the archim came in and they sat down, they haven't yet, you know, lied down, reclined in the living room, but in the outer chambers, we'll call it, is each one made a bracha liatzma. Now Rav just said in the first lishna that afilu yayin, I'm sorry, aval yayin lo boy has heba. So why could one person make the bracha for all of them, according to Rav in the lishna? In Lishna Kama, Rav in the Lishna Basra is okay because he says that Yain Lomahani has Seva. I mean, actually, we're going to ask a kash on Rav from the next part of this Braisa, because the Braisa says that Bolem Yain is Echad Mevarach L'Kulam, that has Seva is meaningful for Yain. But let's talk about the first lishna of Rav. Rav says that yayin doesn't need haseba, and echad mevarach l'kulam even without haseba. Here in the Brice it says no. It says that a yoshvin etc. and then hevi lehem yayin bolem yayin is kol echad v'echad mevarach li'atzmo. So the Gemara answers, Shani Orchim. That Orchim is different. Why is Orchim different? Did that Tayu Lemeakar? In other words, now they're in the outer chambers, and they have an intention, once all the guests gather together and they'll be invited into the dining room, to move to another location. So if that be the case, then surely there's no haseba, there's no integration into one shasiyah for all of them as one. So So in this case, even Rav would agree that each one should make the bracha to himself. When Rav says Yayin lo baya seman, one person can make the bracha for all of them. Even in yeshiva, meaning he doesn't require seba, that's only if they are now in their final location, they're in their seats, all of them are together in the dining room, and that's when they could have a common kvius. Okay. So kavu lishtos yayin shelo b'sasuda. They need that each one make his own bracha, or let's say the koveas to drink wine, but it's shasa suda. But it would have to be that they're drinking wine now in the same place where the suda is taking place. But we have a case now when the Archim first coming in, they're drinking wine. It's ein daitam. It's daitam lakar mimkoman, and it's only when they sit down in the place the makom suda. Then it's ein daitam lakar mimkoman. And then one could be mevarach for all of them. Now, lahach lishna diyomer rav lo shanu ela pas de mahanyule aseva v'yayin lo mahanyule aseva, which means that in the second lishna, rav holds that aseva is not effective, is kasha sefa. The sefa says when they finally take their places and they sit down and they recline, is echad mevarach lekulam. Shiny hasam, the migu dekama hanyule haseba lepas mahanyule haseba liayin. Which I think means the following, that since they were kovea a suda through the pas, and now they're all being kovea suda together, and therefore as far as pas is concerned, we said that Haseba joins them up into one unit, one entity, and Echad Mefarach L'Kulam, so they've already created this entity, and they continue by drinking wine. But it would come out now that Rav would hold in the Lishna Basra that Yayin Lomahanyule Haseba means if they haven't set up a Kvius with Pas, and now they're just simply drinking wine, even if they would all recline together, the drinking of the wine is not chashev enough to create one entity and one unit. Now let's go back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. Bolehem Yayin Besocha Mazon is called Echad Mevarach Biatzmo. Because the Yayin in the middle of the Suda, that's not called a unit. That's not called one entity, one group, indivisible group that one could make the bracha for others. If yayin comes after the mazon, then one could be mevarach lekulam. Shalu ben es ben zoma mipnei ma omru balehem yayin betocha mazon kalech mevarach lekulam liatzmo, but yayin liachra mazon echad mevarach lekulam. Now, it seems like the questioner was asking two different questions. Number one, he didn't understand why Besoch HaMazon, each one has to make his own bracha. And he also seems to be perplexed about Liachar HaMazon. Why is Echad Mevarach Lekulam? But it seems like Ben Zoma's response only answers the first question, not the second. Take a look. Amar Lehem Ben Zoma says the following, Hoil, that during the Achila Ein Beis Ablia Panui, each one is busy eating and drinking on his own, so they're sort of doing, each one's doing their own thing, they're not connected to one group, each one is busy swallowing the food and the drinking whatever he's drinking, and there's no single entity here that's indivisible such that one should be Mevarach Lekulam. But once again, where's the answer to the second question about Yayin Liachar Beisab, Liachar Shasiya? Liachar Sud, I'm sorry. So we understand full well that if the Beisabli is Pony, that means they bring out the wine in the middle of the Suda, then we're not going to have one person making the bracha for others. That could be dangerous. you know, we don't want people to say amen and then swallow down the food. Or, for example, it's possible that they can't even focus on the bracha because they're busy eating. Hosek b'achila. But in terms of the echad mevarach l'kulam after the suda, that's a little bit confusing. Why is there still a haseba here? It could be one of two things. Either because, as we saw before, according to Rav, the haseba that was set up by the pas covers the wine. Again, that was the wine at the beginning of the suda. Or alternative, and that haseba continues even after the suda. The problem with that is that there's sort of like a wedge in the middle, because in the middle they split up the haseba, because wine in the middle of the suda is kol echad mevarach li'atzmo, but maybe it doesn't really split up the haseba, because it's only a technicality that we didn't set up echad mevarach l'kulam. You know, we were concerned with the fact that each one is involved in the beis habliya. But if you're going to say al pi din, and it's not just the technicality that the kind of the hesevas mufka during the course of the meal, that would be an odd kind of position. But if you would say that, then you're wondering what sets up the heseva at the end of the meal. And it would seem like the end of the meal might be even after benching, or maybe it's after the mayim achronim, and they terminated the suda, but they still didn't bench. I'm strongly inclined to think that we're talking before Birkas HaMazon. And after Birkas HaMazon, it's hard for me to believe that there's still a Haseba. Birkas HaMazon certainly should be Mafkia the Haseba. That's what I think. And since they brought out Yain at the end of the Suda, they're no longer occupied in eating, and therefore the Haseba continues from the beginning of the Suda till even after the Suda, when they're drinking wine together, and one is Mevarach L'Kulam, once again, because of Barova Majus Melech. Now, in the Mishnah, back on Daf Amid Beis, it said the following, Vehu means the Mevarach, who's reciting a bracha on behalf of everyone else, and let's assume it's before Birkas HaMazon, and Omer Al HaMugmar. So that's really interesting. If they drink wine at the end of the Suda, and one, let's call him Reuven, he got the covered to recite the bracha on the yain on behalf of everyone, then once, you know, it's like Omer Hazocher Hamasel Mitzvah Omer Lo Gvar. He will now recite a bracha on behalf of everyone else on the Mugmar. Mugmar meaning the incense that they burn these Eitzim, these very fragrant Eitzim over the fire. And that's what we have in our Mishnah. So again, the difference here is that as far as the Yayin is concerned at the end of the Suda, that's Echad Mevarach L'Kulam, that's before Birkas HaMazon. Here's a Chiddush in the Bracha of Mugmar, which is a Bracha on the bosam, on the smell and so forth. So that's taking place even after Birkas HaMazon. And yet we still have halacha of Echad Mevarach L'Kulam, and one would wonder if that's also a din of Haseba. And the Gemara is now Medayik. Midik Tani, since it says in the Mishnah of Ahu, meaning the one who made the bracha on the Yayin, Omer Al HaMugmar, is Michal Ti'ika Di Adif Mine. There's somebody who really, if not for the fact that Reuven was the Mavarach on the Yayin, somebody else would be the Mavarach on the Mugmar, because he's Adif Mine. Now, I don't know if Adif Mine means he's a bigger Talmud Chacham, or he's older. Maybe he's the father, and the you know, he's the Baal Bayis. But nevertheless, since they gave the bracha on the yayin to so-and-so, we called him Reuven, then Reuven will get the bracha on the mugmar as well, despite the fact that there's a gadol. So that's the Chiddush of Mishnah, and that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says here in the sugya, that even though there's a gadol mimenu, michal dika gdadif minei, the Mishnah is telling you, nevertheless, the mevarach al mugmar is the same person who started with the bracha yayin. Now, the pashtus is we're talking about the yayin that was brought out at the end of the Suda before Birkas HaMazon. Because take a look at the Gemara's question. V'yamai, why does Reuven get to make the bracha on the Mugmar just because he made the bracha on the yayin and there's a gadol who's sitting at the Suda? L'chora, Mugmar is a separate entity. You know, it's after Birkas HaMazon. It doesn't have any connection to the Suda. So what sense does it make that the one who made the bracha on Yayin, which was connected to the Suda and was prior to Birkas HaMazon, he should continue and make the bracha on the Mugmar after the Suda? And the Gemara answers, hold the who, now it's the person who made the bracha on the Yayin, Natal Yodov, Tchila Bachrona. So what's going on here? Now we're talking a little bit about what we call the Seder of Mayim Achronim. And this is going to be a sugya later on, a Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Some of it we could touch on now, just sort of on the surface level. But before we mention the sugya Mem Vav in a little bit more detail, let's just get this simple pshat in our Gemara. What happens is that Reuven was zoch in the Birchas HaYayin, and now he's going to be mevarech Birchas HaMazon. So it's like a whole chadgadiyah, a whole chain. And since he's the one who's going to be mevarech on the Birchas HaMazon, to be motzi everyone in Birchas HaMazon, that was their minig then, we don't have that, but is therefore he's also zoche to kedima in Mayim Achronim. And we're going to see this as we go through the Gemara. Now, once he's the Rishon, he's the first Venetils Yadayim, which has to do with cleaning the hands from what we call Zuama, then he continues to be Zoche even in Birchas HaMugmar, because that also is Havaras Zuama, to remove the Zuama. So it's really an interesting domino theory. You know, he starts by being zoche in the bracha on the yayin, and this is the yayin at the end of the suda before Birkas HaMazon. And once he's in the bracha on the yayin, then he gets Mayim Achronim Tchila. He gets to wash his hands first, and we'll see what that means in a second. And once he has Mayim Achronim first, he's going to recite the Birkas HaMazon first, and not only that, he's going to get the Mugmar, the Brach on the Mugmar. See, basically he was zochen four different things. He got the Brach on the Yayin on behalf of everyone else. He was the first to be Notel Yodov. He's going to be Mavarach Birkas HaMazon on behalf of everyone, and then he's going to be Mavarach after Birkas HaMazon, the Brach on the Mugmar, on behalf of everyone else. So let's talk a little bit about the Seder of Mayim Achronim, which is in the Tila. So the halacha is as follows. If, again, we're just touching on the surface of what's going to come later on in Daf Mem Vav, if the number of people who are joined in this Seder is five maximum, but it could be less than five, then the Gadol who sits at that Suda, he gets first dibs, so to speak, for Netilas Yadayim. We're talking about Mayim Achronim. He'll be the one. However, if we have six or more, then who's going to wash Mayim Achronim first? It's going to be the Katan. Until they get to the last five. So five out of six. So the Katan, and then the next five. Now, within the next five, we're going to choose the gadol of those next five, and we're not going to wait until the gadol, who's top banana, will be Notel Yodov, so that this person, we'll call him Reuven again, he's number six on the list. And this number six on the list is the gadol of those six. We call them Reuven, and he's going to be the one to recite Birkas HaMazon. Now again, it could be that the gadol has a right to give it to someone who's katan mimeno, that he can waive his rights for Birkas HaMazon. And we'll see if he does so, then who's going to get to be first for the Netilas Mayim Achronim? But that's all something that we'll get to later. So we have this entire, shall we say, Chad Gadya here, this domino theory that we spoke about. Now, the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah, Misayale Lerav, the Omer Avchia Bar Ashi Omer Rav, Hanotel Yodov, Tchila Bachrona, Achrona means we're talking about Notel Yodov in Mayim Achronim, Tchila Bachrona, in other words, he's going to be first in that group which we called the five on top of the katan. And who mizumin lebracha? He's going to now be prepared, so to speak, for the birkas hamazon, to be motzi everyone else. Now again, we said that the mevarach al yayin is going to be mevarach al mugmar, because Hamaskel b'mitzvah l'gomar, he started the mitzvah, he should continue. Now, even though, I shouldn't say even though, but even the Maskel Rishon b'mitzvah s'tilis yadayim achronim, we're going to say omer lo gmar for the Birkas HaMazon. And that really reflects Rav. So again, since Rav made this statement that the first one to be Zocha in Mayim Achronim, and he's called the Tchila Bachrona, he's the Rishon of the Chamish Achronim in the Seder HaNetila, is he's also Mezumin Lebracha to recite Birkas HaMazon, to be Motzi all the Mezumin Birkas HaMazon. And this reflects what we discussed earlier, that the Mevarech al Yayin is going to be Mevarech al Mugmar, because of this principle called Maskel B'mitzvah Lo Gmar. And therefore the Maskel Rishon in Mitzvah Netilas Yadayim Achronim is also Omrim Lo Gmar, that he should be Mevarech Birkas HaMazon. So again, just a quick overview of this so-called Chad Gadya, as I said. The one who is Zoch in the Birkas HaYayin, he's going to be Mevarech Birkas HaMazon. Now he's going to get Kedima on Netila Asmayim Achronim before Birkas HaMazon, because the Bracha L'Yayin is related to Birkas HaMazon, and the Mayim Achronim is related to Birkas HaMazon. So he who makes the Bracha L'Yayin, he's going to make the Bracha of Birkas HaMazon on behalf of everyone else. And then the Mayim Achronim, which is the last stage linking or culminating in Birkas HaMazon, will also be given to him. And now we started giving him, the first kibud was the bracha on the Yayin, and now we're going to give him the bracha on the Mugmar after benching, because as we said before, there's a certain parallel or mirror image between the Birkas HaMugmar after Birkas HaMazon and the Birkas HaYayin before Birkas HaMazon, only because the Birkas HaYayin led up to Mayim Achronim. And in that sense, Mayim Achronim, which is Havaras HaZuma to clean his hands, is similar to the Mugmar situation, which is also Havaras Zuma. Again, it's after Birkas HaMazon. So we're not going to say that since he began with the brachos, he's going to get the Birkas HaMugmar. That's not the exact point over here, but once he began with Nekiyas Yadayim from the Suda, then he's going to get his Bizoch in the Mugmar, because that's also Nekiyas Yadayim. Now the Gemara brings the following story. Rav Rabbi Chiyah Haviyasvi Kami de Rav Besu'udasa. So Rav and Rabbi Chiyah are in front of Rebbe, Mekami de Rebbe Besuda, and Again, this is not necessarily Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but Amar Le, so Rebbe, who's presiding over this, turns to Rav and he says, Kum Mishi Yadach. You know, stand up and wash your hands. So Rav gets a little nervous. He thinks that that Rebbe is sort of implying a critique that is, you know, that Rav's hands are dirty. So Chazia Davi Mirsas. Rabbi Chia notices that as soon as Rav gets this mandate from Rebbe to wash his hands, Rav is sort of shaking. He's full of pachad over. He thinks that Rebbe told him to wash his hands because his hands were dirty. Well, maybe he thought that Rav was eating too much. So Omale Rabbi Chia Rav. Rabbi Chia comes to calm down Rav. He says Bar Pachti. That was the acronym for Rav Ben Gedolim. He came from greats in his ancestry. This is not what Rebbe really had in mind, that your hands are dirty, but rather Ayin b'Birchas Mizona. He was really telling you that you're going to be the one to recite Birchas HaMazon, because he gets the first of my machronim, he gets to be mevarach on behalf of everyone else. This is what he's telling you, and therefore he wants you to look over the Birchas HaMazon, because maybe they didn't have Sidurim, they didn't have Berkonim like we have, and therefore you should be preparing yourself, because you're going to be motzi everyone with your Birkas HaMazon. So that Rebbe tells Rav, wash your hands by Machronim, you're going to be the first, and he who is first in my Machronim is going to be first in Birkas HaMazon. And in a certain sense, maybe Rebbe's implying that Rav is the gadol of that group, and therefore he's the one who should be mevarech Birkas HaMazon, and he hinted at that to the effect by telling him that he should be the one first to wash my machronim. Again, if Rav decides he wants to give someone else the kavod, that's okay. That's up to Rav, but... Now Rav Chia, keep in mind, is Rav's uncle, and he helps him a lot helps his nephew in very often to clarify the minhagim, and whatever Rebbe tells him, Rav on his own didn't understand that Rebbe meant to tell him he's going to be the mevarech as Birkas HaMazon. He thought that Rebbe would not give him that honor in the presence of Rav Chia, who's his uncle and who was greater than him in Chochma and also in age. And therefore, when Rabbi Chia turns to Rav and he calls him Ben Gedolim, he's really telling him that Rebbe gave him the kibud, even though he's to some extent the kavod, but he certainly has kavod avosav, he certainly has the lineage, the right yichus. Now let's talk a little bit about Mugmar as an introduction to the next piece of Gemara. Mugmar is certain kinds of eitzim that have a fragrant smell, and what they did was they burnt it on top of coals, and there was what we call an avka, some sort of a dust on these atzei besomim that gave a very fine fragrant odor. And this odor would be smelled from the pillar of smoke that went up from the burning of the atzei besamim. So the Gemara wants to know exactly at what moment the bracha of the reach on the mugmar should be recited. Omer abzera omer rav bar yirmiya me'emasai mevarcha la reach, the reach of mugmar, shetala timroso. He should wait until the pillar of smoke goes up. This is reminiscent to the Kohen Gadol in the Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom HaKippurim. And once the Ashan, this pillar of smoke goes up, that's when the bracha should be made. Because at that point, the smell is about, you know, you're about to smell the odor, so you want to make the bracha right before that. Now you might ask, why not make the bracha as soon as he puts this dust, this avak of the besomim, onto the fire and it begins to burn? Why does he have to wait that extra minute until the pillar of smoke goes up? And the answer is, we're not sure that the fire will really catch on and set up the ashan and send forward upwards the smoke, and then the bracha could turn out to be a bracha levat tola. Now we don't want to delay it too long, because if you wait until the smell really circulates, then he's already enjoyed the benefit of the odor, the fragrant odor, even before he made the bracha. That we don't want to do. We want the bracha to be there before he enjoys the odor. And Tosus Divi Maskel Kol says that the eitz, this piece of wood of mugmar, is already burnt up at that point. Now, usually we don't make a bracha on a reach unless it's yeshlo ikar. In other words, that object or that piece of wood that's creating the reach is still alive and well. Once it's already burnt up, then it's too late to make the bracha on the reach, because that's a reach she'ein lo ikar. But nevertheless, since this eitz gives the reach as it's being burnt, it's not yet completely consumed, and therefore he can still make the bracha. That's the right moment to make the bracha, talatim rosso. Again, what exactly will be the bracha? If it's borei atze besomim, that's going to be a little bit of a problem, because the eitz itself is burnt up, or it's about to be burnt up. Maybe you should make borei mineh besomim. Again, that's going to be a sugya a little bit later on. Amalei Rabbi Zera l'Rava bar Yirmiya v'hol lo ka'orach. I don't understand how you can make the bracha on mugmar after the timra goes up. There's no reach yet. He hasn't smelled the reach yet. Now, it seems like the Gemara in the Hava Mina here thinks that the bracha should be after he enjoys the smell, and that's a pella, because we're talking about a berachas hanenim, and a berachas hanenim, the bracha has to come before the hanor to be matir the hanor. So, what exactly is he asking? Maybe he holds that the bracha is basically a berachas hashevach to thank Hashem for creating these eitzim. And now at this point, it's a little bit too late. Once the smoke is going up, the eitzim are burning. And the Gemara answers that no, this is a bracha on the hanor. It's a classic matir for the hanor. And he says to him, Amalei, Rava says back to Rav Zera, L'taymech, according to your shita, that you think that you shouldn't make the bracha until after your hanor, is hamotzilech min haoretz b'mavarech. How does he make the hamotzi before he eats the pas? V'holo ochal, he didn't have that no yet. Ella, but you have to answer, daite lemechal, he's about to have that no, and he needs the bracha, kol enene v'lo bracha, merol enze v'lo bracha, kilumol, to be matid v'no. Hachinami here also, when it comes to reach, when he smells the mugmar, is daite la ruche. Right, he makes the bracha as he's about to benefit from that no, to be matid that no. But the original kasha of Rabbi Zera, let's get the names, I'm sorry, Amalei Rabbi Zera l'Rava, I think he held that the bracha was on just pure shevach, you know, to thank Hashem. Now, in the case of pas, when he's coming to eat it, you know, there the pas is also not exactly in its original state, because, you know, now it's a full loaf of bread that was baked in the oven. It's not what you call dogon in its original natural state. So there he's not being mishabech on the creation of the dogon, but rather on the anor that he gets from the achila. So how can he make the bracha before he's nena? And the only answer that he could give is that he's coming to him shabech on the hanor that he's about to enjoy, because right now he's omed lehenos, even though he hasn't been nena. And therefore, what Rabbi Yirmiyah is answering to Rabbi Zera, what Rav is answering to Rabbi Zera is that the case of Mugbar is exactly parallel to the case of Birchas HaMotzi. Now, in terms of the right nusach for Birchas HaReach, there are two possibilities. There's one possibility of Borei Atze Besomim, which is a case where the Reach comes from the Eitz. So you thank Hashem for creating the Eitz. That's called Borei Atze Besomim. And then there's a possibility that the fragrance is coming not from an Eitz, but rather from an Esev, from a kind of a grass. And that requires a bracha borei asve besom, not atze besom, but asve besom. Now then we have a sort of a general bracha, a bracha koleles that sounds like shakol nia bedvaro, and that's called borei mine besomim. So the Gemara now wants to know, where does mugmar fit in? Because on the one hand, clearly the smell comes from the Eitz, which is being burnt, but on the other hand, he has to wait until it's burnt in order to get the Oshan that's coming up. So how can he make a bracha on the Eitz? Om Rav Chia Breda Rav the Abba Bar Nachmeni, Om Rav Chizda, Om Rav Yamri Le, Om Rav Chizda, Om Rav Zeri, Kol HaMugmaros Mevorch HaLeim Borei Atzei B'Somim. In other words, we're not going to say that since the Eitz, the wood itself is already burnt up, so therefore it's too late to recite a bracha on the Eitz, and we should make a bracha on Mine Besomim, the general Nusach HaBrach, but rather he makes a bracha on the Eitz. On the Timur, on this pillar of smoke that comes up from the wood itself as it's being burnt, or even after it's burnt. And that's the Chiddush here of Rabbi Chia. Now the exception to this rule is something called mushk. Chutz mi mushk. So what is this thing called mushk? Mushk is something that comes from an animal. It's a bosem. Shemina chayahuba. It comes from a wild beast. It doesn't come from an eitz. It has nothing to do with trees. And that's going to be the exception. There we make the bracha of borei mine besamim. Now exactly how he gets this smell from a chaya, so Rashi writes that he gets it from tsoa of a chaya. The Rosh writes he gets from the zea of the chaya. Or perhaps he gets it from the neck of the chaya. The neck meaning there's a hunch or a hump on the neck of perhaps a deer, and they extract a fragrant perfume from that chaya, and therefore the bracha is going to be borei mine v'samim. It cannot be borei atze v'samim. It's not coming from a tree. Meisve. We have a kasha now on Rabbi Chia. The Braisa tells us ein mevarchem borei atze v'samim. Elo al afarsimon shel beis Rebbe. We're talking about balsam that comes from either beis Rebbe or beis Kesar from the Caesar's house, because these are very expensive trees, very rare, and you can only find them amongst the rich. And al hadas shebechol makom. Right, there's a myrtle tree that gives a very beautiful smell, even without burning it. But as far as mugmar that comes from a burnt eitz is concerned, we don't make the bracha borei atzei besamim. It's just not on this list. It's going to have to be borei mine besamim. So that now we have a kasha on Reb Chia, because Reb Chia was the one who said that kol ha-mugmaros mevarcha leim borei atzei besamim. And here, according to this price, borei atzei besamim is limited to two trees, so to speak. We have atzei besamim in the case of afar simon, and then we have atzei besamim in the case of hadas. So these are the branches that come from hadas, or maybe there are other woods where you can just smell the wood itself, and then that has the fragrant odor. However, when you burn the eitz, then you don't make a bracha on the atzei besamim, rather borei mine besamim. So this brisus clearly contradicts Rabbi Chia. Tufta, the Gemara
ends up with a tirtus of Pircha to Rabbi Chiya, and we're rejecting what Rabbi Chiya says. And basically, the bottom line is that our mugma b'varchim bore mine b'sam, not bore atzi b'sam, because the eitz is already burnt. And here we have a bahag. The bahag takes out the girsa tiyuvta. He has a different girsa. He says tana hadas vechol didomile, which would sound like any fragrant wood. But what he's saying here is that when the Braisa says that you don't make a Boreatzi B'Somim with the exception of Adas, it's not coming to exclude Mugmar, where the Reah comes after the burning, but rather it comes to exclude some sort of a tree that was planted, but not for the purpose of Reah. Let's say it was planted for the purpose of eating the fruits. And you'll take a look at Tosasia Dibra Masel Vial. So let's say, for example, an Eitz Esrogim, an Eitz Tapuchim, which is planted not for the sake of fragrance, we're not going to make a Borei Atzi B'Somim, but rather Borei Mine B'Somim. Does that mean that the Hadas plant was planted, the tree was planted just simply for the purpose of fragrance? That would seem to be the case, and many other cases of Mugmar fit that bill, that description, that the Eitz itself was planted for the sake of incense. That's what seems to be according to the Bahag. Now the Shita Megubetzes has a different understanding. He says that the Brice is coming to set up categories of Mugmar. And we don't make the bracha unless we're talking about Mugmar Me'etz Afar Simon, Shal Beis Rebbe Beis Kisa V'chein Adas B'chol Mokom. These are very, very reliable trees. And even after you put these trees, this wood, on the fire, on the gecholim, on the coals, and even after Ola Tumraso, it still is giving its reach. So that When the tamra, meaning the pillar of smoke, starts going up, there still is an eitz there, because that's how long it takes for the eitz to be consumed. In other mugmaros, once you start burning it and you get to the point of talatim rosso, then the ikar eitz is no longer alive, because the wood goes up in smoke very quickly, and therefore you can't make a bracha. Now, it would seem that according to Shita Megubetzes, in other mugmaros, which the wood is burnt up very quickly, so you're waiting for talatum ros to make the bracha, you wouldn't make the bracha at all. Because before the talatum ros, so there's no reach, and you can't make the bracha. And after it's ready, alatum ros, so the eitz is burnt up, and it's a reach shembo ikar. So when the Gemara asks from this Braisa, according to the Shita Megubetzes, how could Rabbi Chiya possibly say that we make a bracha on all Mugmar, what the Gemara meant to say is that no, we don't make a bracha on all Mugmar. That's the Shita Megubetzes. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the status of what's called Shemen Afar Simon. This is not the balsam itself that we spoke about before, but the oil that comes out of the balsam, the Afar Simon. Omale Rav Chizdo l'Rav Yitzchak Hai Mishcha the Afar Simon Mai Mivarchinen Ale. Omale, so Rabbi Yitzchak responds to Rav Chizdo, he says, Hachi Omar Rabbi Yehuda, this is what I heard from Yehuda. And for the lovers of Eretz Yisrael, listen to this. The bracha on the Mishcha de Afar Simon that Rabbi Yehuda authored was Borei Shemen Artzenu, thanking God for creating the oil of Artzenu. It seems that the Afar Simon, this balsam, grows particularly in Eretz Yisrael, and particularly in the area of Yericho. The name Yericho comes from the Lashon Reach, the reach of Atzei Afar Simonu, these balsam trees that grow in the area of Yericho. And this is indicated by a pasuk in Yechezkel Perkov Zayin. I'll read to you the pasuk: Yehudavi Eretz Yisrael Hema Rochlecha Rochloyach Bechite Minis Ufanag. So that word Ufanag is very critical, because that's apparently the this Eitz Afar Simon that grows around Yericho. Udvash Vashemim Vitzori Nasnu Mavarech. So again, we're talking about the schora, the export that comes from Eretz Yisrael to the city of Tzur in, up in the north. And amongst the schora, he counts here, enumerates panag. And that's the Eitz Afar Simon that grows in Eretz Yisrael. The word minis here is the name of a place which has beautiful dagon, you know, beautiful wheat that grows. And tzuri is a kind of a fragrant balsam. And ma'aravech is the explanation of, is to be interpreted as chora secha. Okay, all this you'll see in Rashi, Dir Maskel Shemen, in the name of Sefer Yosifud. So the Gemara says, Omer le Rav Chisda, says Rav Yitzchak bar minei de Rav Yehuda. We're not going to rely on Rav Yehuda's nusach of the bracha on Shemen Afar Simon. Why? Because Chaviv le Eretz Yisrael. You know, he's in love with the land of Israel to such an extent that he wants to find any opportunity of thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. In fact, back on Chav Dalet Amid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that you're not allowed to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, because it says Bavela Yuvu Veshama Yu Ad Yom Pokti Osam Ni'um Hashem, which means that you have to wait till Yom Hapkida until you go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And maybe that's why Rabbi Yehuda experienced a certain Chavivus. Because he knew that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, would come to Israel at the time of the Gula. So he's waiting for the Gula. In any event, Rabbi Yehuda represents the person who has tremendous gaguim for Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he introduced Arzenu into the Nusach HaBrachia for the balsam oil. But Lekuli Amamai, what should the rest of the world, except for Rabbi Yehuda, what should it be our Nusach HaBrachia on Shemen Afar Simon? Amar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchak responded to Rabbi Chisda, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Borei Shemen Orev. So again, at this point, apparently, they hadn't yet established a nusach kavua for Shemen, for the bracha on Shemen Afar Simon. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda came up with his chiddush on his own. But in our time, the Gemara says there was a takana, the nusach ha-bracha, for everyone. We're not allowed to be mishanim imadbeach chachamim. And we make the bracha borei Shemen Orev. And the Rishonim say that this bracha was established because of p'chisuso shel shemen afar simon. In other words, it's not the eitz itself that he's thanking Hashem for, but rather something that's yotzim in the eitz, the oil that came out, you know, some sort of a serum or a sap of around this balsam tree. So we can't make the bracha borei atzei b'som, because it's not coming from the tree itself. They had to make a different nusach. But Rabbeinu Yonah says the exact opposite, that this bracha was established because of the special chashivus of Shemen Afar Simon, that it's Gadol Beretz Yisrael, and that gives it chashivus, and they set up a special bracha just for the Shemen Afar Simon, because if not for its chashivus, they would have made the bracha borei atzei besomim. Now, atzei besomim generally would be soaked in oil, so that after a certain time the oil would absorb the smell, the fragrant odor of the eitz. And the Gemara wants to know, what bracha do you make on the reich of the shemen when the wood is still soaking in the shemen? Amar Avada Barava, high kisharta, which is otherwise called kosht, and I'll give you the English translation of the word kosht, or kisharta, it's called kostus, that's C-O-S-T-U-S in the English translation. And this was a spice, Rashi says, that's mentioned in the Ketores. It's one of the 11 spices in the Ketores, which is a blend of spices that was brought twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash. And sometimes this kostus is immersed in oil. And the oil, again, as we said before, absorbs the smell, the fragrant smell of this kostus, which is submerged in the oil. And the problem is that it's not visible, so you don't really see the kostus itself. It's somehow, you know, swimming down at the bottom of this oil. So Rav Ada says that mevarkan alei borei atzei b'samim. Why? Because the kisharta wood is still inside the oil. No. Just one second. Let's read it one more time. Hai kisharta is mevarchen alei borei atzei b'samim aval mishcha kvisha is lo. V'rav kahana amar afilu al mishcha kvisha, we can make the bracha borei atzei b'samim. So what I explained before was Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is saying that since the wood of the kosht is submerged in the oil, then you can make the bracha on the oil, on the smell of the oil, borei atzei b'samim, because the eitz is actually there. However, avol mishcha tchina, if he subjects it to some sort of a grinding situation, lo, then we can no longer make the bracha borei atzei b'samim, because even though somewhere in this mixture there is the wood of the kosht, but nevertheless, even though it's there, once it was ground up through tchina, it's as if it doesn't exist anymore, and there's no way you can make borei atzei b'samim. Nardoi amri, afilu mishcha tchina. You can still make the bracha borei atzei b'samim even after the tchina, because it's considered kayam. It's still very much alive and well, even though we don't see it. So the first day, again, that was Rav Ada bar Ava, he said that only the ksharta itself, which means the eitz, if you're smelling the eitz, then you can make borei atzei b'samim. But once it is soaked in the oil, then on that oil you can't make borei atzei b'samim. You can't see the eitz, the wood itself. Now, according to Rav Ada bar Ava, you don't make the bracha of borei atzei b'samim. So what bracha do you make? Is he saying you can't make any bracha? Or maybe you'd make the general bracha borei minei b'sam? I don't know. Now, if let's say he soaks the oil, or let's say he soaks the kosht in the oil, and then he siphons out the oil, and he takes out and he eats him, and now he's smelling the oil itself that was collate for the smell of the eitzim. So the Torah says that in this case he would make borei atzei b'samim. There's no eitz. Some say, however, that he should make borei shemen orev, like we spoke about before, in the case of mishcha diafarsama. And some say he should make any bracha at all, because it's called a reach she'ein bo ikar. And this really requires a tremendous amount of analysis. This is really great for an Ian Shia. In any event, this takes us to the top of Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. On Yirtz Hashem, the next year, we'll get to Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis.